amazingly, crazily got it in my mind that I should never let a bigger fish start. But now company, I wake up to find there is mimosa keeping house in my heart. It's all Sunday, pardon me, spring is here again. When you're in love, it's mighty likely to be.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are we all today? Thank you for coming to yet another annual Alec Wilder concert. This year, I have been very honored to have been asked to be the honorary host. And I'm a little nervous, because I usually don't do this stuff. If I'm not sitting at the piano, I'm a little... So if I talk a little fast, pull me back. And if I need to move along, kick me. So, here we go. This afternoon, we're paying tribute to one of my favorite people in the Alec Wilder world, the very famous lyricist, William Ingvick. I say very famous because in my mind, the more I've gotten to know this material, he's become a giant among lyric writers. I say that with full knowledge that he is not a very famous name at all, maybe outside of the people in this room. He's probably not that famous. But if you know Wilder, if you love Wilder, if you've gotten to know these songs, you can't help but really appreciate the singular contribution William Ingvick made to the world of Alec Wilder. I'm going to start by talking about maybe one of his greatest hit songs, which you'll have the pleasure of hearing a little later in the program. But there's one song we all just love to death, and since we don't have time to sing all of his great songs, I'm just going to read you a little bit of this lyric and talk about it. Songs were made to sing while we're young. Every day is spring while we're young. None can refuse. Time flies so fast. Too dear to lose and too sweet to last. Though it may be just for today, share our love we must while we may. So blue the skies, all sweet surprise, shines before our eyes while we're young. Now that's just a damn good lyric. I mean, honestly, that lyric reminds me of the best of Joni Mercer. It reminds me of a little bit of Sammy Kahn, in that there's a little bit of a wink, there's a knowledge there, there's a sophistication. And I think that's sort of a distillation of what Ingvick offered Alec Wilder, who himself fit those descriptives as well. Sophisticated, educated, mature. It was a match made in heaven, and I really am just gaga over much of what they wrote. What I'm going to do for you now is play for you a song we don't hear all that much, but it's a hugely important song in the Alec Wilder / William Ingvick world. We know about it because it was Ingvick's greatest hit. The dirty secret is the song we're about to do for you now is not music by Alec Wilder. It's music by Georges Auric. It was Bill Ingvick's biggest hit song. It stayed number one on the charts in 1953 for 10 solid weeks. It was the theme song to a very big movie that year called Moulin Rouge. And I'd like to invite to the stage now Meryl Grant, who will sing Where Is Your Heart?
Whenever we kiss, I worry.
song. We dove right into it because it always puts a smile on my face. It reminds me of spring with these fun lyrics like packety rackety and bumpity thumpity. I mean, he really played with words in a beautiful way that remains singable, and I just think really wonderful to wrap your arms around as a singer and as a musician. They come from a set of songs which might be my favorite work of his. It's a set of seven songs to the film, actually asterisk, it's not to the film, it's inspired from music from the film, Open the Door and See All the People. Long story short, Alec Wilder wrote this really sumptuous underscoring for this documentary by Jerome Hill, and William Ingvick said, you know what, I think I can make some songs out of that underscoring. So he did, and six of those were published in the 60s, I want to say 63-ish, maybe Judy, somewhere around there. And they're just scrumptious. They're in, let's see, oh, I didn't bring the book. They're in that gray songbook. If you've got several of these songbooks at your house, they're in the gray songbook that has the black and white photo on the cover. All six were published. They're fantastic. They've been recorded by Jackie Kane and Roy Kral. I think everybody gets their hands on them at one time or another. They're really fantastic. I started with Mimosa and Me. I want to tell you about a fantastic thing that happened. Me and someone who's going to be on the program in the second half, named Mike McGinnis, are kindred Wilder musical souls. We've met doing these concerts and we've become good friends. Back in about 2005, maybe 2004, when I first started doing these concerts, we had the pleasure of meeting William Ingvick. Bill at the time had retired, lived in Oakland for much of his life, although he spent a considerable amount of time here on the East Coast. Bill and Mike and I went to lunch, and he was staying at a hotel on 57th Street. I remember it so clearly. We got to talking about this set of songs and all that Mike and I loved about his work. And the wheels started turning, and by the end of that lunch, Bill said, you've inspired me to write a little more. You're kidding. This is a man whose songs have been sung by Sinatra, Peggy Lee, Rosie Clooney. Down the lines, we'd inspired him to write a little more. He was already in his 90s, easily. I got a fantastic letter in the mail a few weeks after that. I have yet descended from my high brought on by our wonderful dinner on Monday night. I was so excited, I went up to my hotel room and wrote a couple of lines for the 5-4 song. Now, here's what he's talking about. There was a melody that he'd never dared put a lyric to from that film underscoring, and it was a song in 5-4. Swingy, jazzy, loopy, and he initially thought, there's no way anybody could ever sing this. But we talked him into it at that lunch. He goes on, now I'm listening carefully to the tape to try to get it right. I've thought of nothing but the concert and our meeting, and I've decided that you and Mike have PhDs in nice. Very sweet. With affection, Bill. Bill's initial instinct was correct. The song is virtually unsingable. It's in 5-4. It's one of these fantastic creations that you go, that's cool. I could never imagine singing that. I mean, could you? I mean, you probably could. And many couldn't. But anyway, I just want to give you a taste of the lyric that Bill Ingvick wrote at age 91, maybe, 93. I don't remember how old he was, but it's astonishing. Give me the news. What's bugging you? Why don't you blossom out and get yourself a life? Are you crying the blues? Nobody's hugging you? Why don't you rent a car, rent a pad, rent a wife? Instead of shelling out rent, you ought to own the pad. Be a regular gent, like your dear old dad. Pay me some mind, get your dander up. Consider setting out and getting out of here, dude. Put on your Sunday suit, assert yourself, and get a life. I was so taken by that. I tried singing it, I couldn't do it. The only song from that set of songs that I'm in love with that I can sing, I'm going to do for you now with your permission. It's often cited as a tremendously autobiographical song from Bill. He was born and raised in Oakland, California. He put that in this lyric. He talks about the grass to San Jose being high and cool and green, and that's also in the lyric. And it's a song of tremendous emotional maturity. Sinatra recorded it, but I beg you, please don't compare what I'm about to do for you to Frank Sinatra. You think you've got it made, my friend. you how Bill and Alec Wilder met. Bill had lived in the city for 2 years after driving across country from Oakland as a teenager, he said. He'd worked for 2 years. He'd been selling scripts here and there, trying to pitch them, hawk them. He finally got a lucky break. An agent who was a friend of a friend of a friend got the script to Alec Wilder. And Alec is quoted as saying, "I went to the agency. I picked up the script. I asked to meet the author. It was arranged, and I met William Ingvig, a very bright, very nervous, and engaging young man. I took him to a record store and played him one of my octets." I enjoy that part. Come to this record store and let me show you who I am. Then he too was captivated. I showed the script to Mitch Miller, and he was captivated. On an antique out-of-tune piano that Saturday and Sunday, I wrote the complete score. Bill Ingvig was delighted with everything, all the songs and ballets, though I don't know how he managed to glean anything from my dreadful piano fumblings. A group of actors auditioned the script, and very good singers sang the songs, but the people for whom this audition was given were completely bored and/or bewildered by this sophistication and the tenderness of this piece of work. I was always fascinated by what this became. This became the beginning of an amazing collaboration. When Judy showed me a song from this collaboration, their first little flash of brilliance, I couldn't resist doing it here today. So I'm going to invite back onto the stage Dewey Cadell to sing "So Long to All That."
I miss diets of dessert, Sundays spent in my undershirt, happily running to eat. So long to all that. Fare thee well to the unshaved face and a whole lot of closet space. All the things comfort began. Is fun. I'll miss my fine disorder, but now the thing is done. Hello to the sheet with the crochet border. Fare thee well to the racing form and the walks in the winter. Also that hideaway flat. So long to all that. See what love has got me into. I've posed and now begin to sense where love's concerned, the mail is dense. Girl turns guy from mouse to fighter. All he sees are just the brighter days. He hasn't learned the price he pays. Though she gives him joy to tie to, think of what he says goodbye to. Unshaved face
Songs that he had written early in his career. Something he had in common with somebody else this is true of, but not a lot of people know, Alan J. Lerner. And when you think about the Lerner and Lowe collaboration, the music and the lyric are so intrinsically one notion, I can't help but think that that's because Lerner, being as good of a musician as he was, that absolutely led Frederick Lowe down the path of the lyrics, you know, being in exact line with the music. I think the same kind of magic was happening with Billy. He knew enough about music, especially what Wilder was creating, to suit it perfectly. The next song we're going to do is a pop song that I know nothing about. Maybe some of you do. Again, Judy Bell sent this to me. I'm in love with it. And all I can gather is that it was among that group of pop songs that he and Alec Wilder wrote while they were living in Stony Point, New York, and kicking out pop songs left and right for Mitch Miller. This is "Tain't a Fit Night Out," and it's Merrill Grant again and Dewey Cadet.
Rising from the east, but hiding for us.
King Vic most is that there's a sense of dramaticness going on in a lot of his lyrics. There's always something to act, and if you're a performer, you really hone in on that and say, ah, I know what to do with this song. It might be the difference, in my very subjective opinion, between a pop song, a theater song, and an art song where there isn't that expectation. The art song exists for a different reason. However, Ingvig, even though he wrote a few art songs, I think his gift and his real home base was theatrical writing. And with Alec Wilder, they wrote a couple of theatrical pieces which are among my favorites. We're not doing any selections today, I'm sorry to say, from the two television musicals they wrote, Pinocchio and Hansel and Gretel. These were on broadcast television in the 50s, all-star Broadway cast, Stubby Kay, Mickey Rooney, Reese Stevens sang a famous role. It was fantastic stuff, and it really was a high point in the collaboration. We did a lot of these songs a couple of years ago at the Wilder concert, so we can't do them all. So we couldn't do them today, but I had to mention them. But thinking about musical theater writing, which is my favorite material of William Ingvig and Alec Wilder, brings to mind their one gargantuan piece. I say gargantuan. It's sort of, they both described it as their most favorite thing they did together. It was the opera, The Long Way. This had a performance, a single performance, at a NIAC high school, and then never heard from again. That's remarkable considering both men said it was their favorite thing they ever did together. But as we know from Wilder, and maybe true of him as well, they weren't big on self-promotion. Wilder deliberately hid from the spotlight many times, and Ingvig presumably took his lead in many of those cases. But thinking about The Long Way, I'll tell you what I know about it. I know that there's a piano vocal score that exists at the New York Public Library that Bill Ingvig donated in around 2000, along with some other materials. And with Judy Bell's help, I've been able to get a photocopy of one piece from the aria. Excuse me, from the opera. It's the aria that I call, for lack of any other title, The Long Way, because it's the leading lady's first song. All you need to know about this is that the premise of the opera is there is a young teenage girl who is crossing the line very quickly into womanhood. She's used to running all around town unsupervised. But now that she's getting a little older, her mother warns her at the beginning of the opera, Martha, take the long way home, because it's not safe for you to be wandering through certain parts of town you might come through if you take that shortcut. This sets up sort of an Alice in Wonderland kind of a scenario where, of course, she disobeys mom and trundles off and has all these wild adventures. Early in Act One, she's given this stern warning from her mother, and the aria is heard. I'm going to invite Juliet Trafton back to the stage to sing The Long Way from the opera The Long Way.
Stored away for.
be a friend of Bill Ingvick, she occasionally got these really adorable postcards around the holiday season. This one was my favorite. To whom it may concern, peace is acceptable in 2010. Love it, just that. among one of the other pieces he wrote late in his life, which I'm tremendously fond of, is a song called Dear World, which has just been published in this songbook. If you don't have it, get it. It's fantastic. It was published for the Centennial several years back, and in it contain a couple of the pieces we're doing tonight, including this one called Dear World. And I just want to read you a little bit of it because I think it really, when I imagine what Bill Ingvick's worldview was, it's this song. I can't sing it for you because it's, again, too damn hard. Swear, it's so rangy, you'd have to have a 2+ octave range. Anyway, I'll remember you, dear world, old and ever new, dear world. Letters to mail, oceans to sail, races to run, friendships begun. I'll remember these, dear world, brilliant autumn trees, dear world, children on trains, airmen in planes, lovers in lanes, dear world. Everything so exuberant, so live and fancy free. Animals and minerals and plants. Pretty birds and city birds and fish beneath the sea join this magnificent dance. Flags on every street unfurled fly where heroes meet, dear world. Multitudes of friends, faith that never bends, a dream that never ends, dear world. Again, that's amazing. I just love it. Okay, next. One of the other pieces that was published in this book for the first time is sort of a fascinating thing. They met in 1939, and around the time Alec Wilder was recording his famous woodwind octets, Bill Ingvick thought, hey, I can write a song of that. And he did, and they were not published until 2007 when I believe this book came out. Is that right, Julie? So they're copyrighted 2007, but two of them were written back in 39, 40, sometime back then. And he sort of kept them in his back pocket and again pulled them out. I recall, maybe Judy would disagree with this, but I recall they're sort of being presented around the same time of the other new things he was working on in the mid-2000s. I'm going to invite Merrill Grant back on stage to sing Walking Home in Spring, which if you're a fan of the octets, you'll recognize as one of those titles. This is a lyric put to that melody.
Season lands.
before our last selection, I want to give a special introduction to Dennis Michael Keefe. Last thing we're going to do today is an excerpt from Miss Chicken Little. And if you have talked to me, I've probably told you how much I love Miss Chicken Little. It's fantastic. It's a 30-minute jazz operetta that was on CBS television in the mid-50s. It's spectacular writing from both Ingvig and Wilder. The cast on television was just off the charts. Charlotte Ray was in the cast. Georgia Serving was in the cast. And it was an all-star thing. Again, both men were sort of peaking. They probably didn't know it, bless their hearts, because they deserved so much more fame and accolades. But this was considered certainly one of the highest peaks of their collaboration. And it's a spectacular piece. I have to read you one thing that just gives you a hint of the wit and the sneakiness that Bill Ingvig packs into Miss Chicken Little. There's a scene in which the fox, reminder, who needs a reminder of Miss Chicken Little plot? Nobody, right? Okay, they're going to tell the king the sky is falling. They encounter a fox who's up to no good. Anyway, this is the song for the fox. And the fox is such a wily character. Listen to what Bill has him singing. It's really like, it's fantastic. Can the words deny the poet? Can the poet deny the art? Can the art deny the beauty? Can the beauty deny the heart? Meanwhile, he's pulling her into his lair with all this double talk. Can the heart deny the lover? Can the lover deny the moon? Can the moon deny the music? Can the music, music's getting really impassioned here, can the music deny the tune? Come with me, don't deny. And she goes with him. And it's a spectacular bit of text. I mean, that's fantastic lyric writing. We're not doing that song for you today. Instead, I'm thrilled to give you the main song from the show. You can tell this was the hit they wished it might have spawned. The song is called It's a Fine Day for Walking Country Style. And we're going to start with a little bit of the scene of Chicken Little on her way to tell the king the sky is falling. She will encounter Cocky Locky, and the two of them sing the duet. I'm going to bring back on stage Juliet Pratt.
My luck will hold.
transition now into the next chunk of the concert. I'm really thrilled to introduce these next two artists who are going to be doing a couple of works that don't get heard all that much, and they're fantastic. They were rehearsing them when we came in today, and I just think they're spectacular. And then I learned a thing that might be a little clue as to why. Many of them were written for vocal use and are now being played on the flute, which I think is a fantastic cross-pollination there. It might explain the singability of them. Anyway, I think they're spectacular. There are four works you're going to hear. The one is, the one they're going to start with is Vocalese, number one. This was written for Eileen Farrell. And if you are a fan of the Wilder world, you know that Eileen Farrell and Alec Wilder were chums across the decades, and she certainly introduced a lot of his works, including a neat recording that just got sent to me, I think, from Judy Bell, who got it from Mr. Lutovsky. April Age, was that the recording? Eileen Farrell singing Alec Wilder's song, The April Age, spectacular. Anyway, the first work they're going to do was written for Eileen Farrell. As a vocalese, they're going to perform it as a flute piece. Next, there'll be a small suite from 1960, which was written for, again, associations in his life, Judy Holliday. Judy Holliday, the famous actress and Broadway singer, took up the flute in the last few years of, her life. And he wrote a small suite for her. Falls right in line with what we've always heard about Alec Wilder. If he liked you, he'd write you a piece. It didn't matter if you played the zither or the harmonica or whatever it was. And to this day, pieces are still sort of coming in from boxes and closets and grandmother's piano benches, and it's all fantastic. That's small suite for Judy Holliday. The fourth thing they're going to do is a piece called Answer to a Poem from 1979. And the last is going to be an air for flute and strings dated all the way back to 1945. So please welcome to the stage flutist Paul Lustig-Denkel and pianist Barbara Lee.
Thank you.